Hello and welcome to another Relocation Next Practices podcast presented by Weichert Relocation Resources. My name is Tim McCarney. I'm the Manager of Marketing Communications at Weichert, and today we are joined by Kyriako Boris. He is the Director of Global Transportation Services here at Weichert Relocation Resources, and today's topic, not surprising, is household goods. Kyriako, thanks for joining us. The first question we had is, companies that are typically looking at prospective household goods suppliers, they hear a lot about discounts and tariffs, and I would imagine it sometimes gets confusing for them. At the end of the day, in your experience, what do companies need to know when it comes to how they can be sure they're getting the best possible rate discount? And if they are looking to find savings in their household goods spend, where's the first place you typically recommend that they look?
First thing I'd recommend is asking the right questions. And I think today the most important question is asking, you know, what's the discount off of? In the old days, pre-2008, when the industry was regulated, a client could simply compare pricing by asking two competitors, two moving companies, what discount are you giving me off of the certain tariff? Since the industry is now deregulated, each of the major van lines and independent van lines, as well as moving companies, have the ability and actually the required to create their own tariffs. So what one moving company may discount at 60%, maybe the equivalent of a 65% discount because the baseline tariff is not the same. Traditionally, corporate America has been reluctant to move away from the discount discussion, but more evident today when you look at or you're looking for apples-to-apples comparison, you'll see that that discount really isn't relevant anymore. It's what's the discount off of. In order to get a comparison done, you really need to look at the move specifics. Where are they moving from? Where are they moving to? The actual services being provided, are they the same services? Is one moving company charging more for certain components within that shipment? So there's a lot of things that you need to look at today that really weren't in play years ago. When the decision was made to deregulate the industry, it was done so more for the average consumer, so that if somebody was moving from New York to California, they could go out, or they can go out now and they can select five, six different moving companies and they'll get five or six different quotes. From a corporate standpoint, it's not that convenient to do that, and you're looking at more of the overall savings. And that starts with making sure that you're getting that apples-to-apples comparison.
Well, on the subject of cost and cost savings, one thing that we see companies doing a lot of is capping their household goods shipments. In other words, putting a limit on how much they'll cover in terms of what a transferee is moving, the household goods component of their move, and with the transferee then responsible for anything that goes over that amount. Do you see a lot of that when you're working with companies these days? And in your opinion, is that a good idea?
Typically, we don't on a domestic household goods shipment, and we almost always do on an international shipment. From a domestic standpoint, because within the U.S. and Canada and cross-border, everything is primarily based on weight, it's difficult for a transferee to understand how much does 10,000 pounds look like. So if a client were to come in and cap a shipment at a certain weight amount, it's difficult for the moving company to explain and for the transferee to visualize exactly what 10,000 pounds of household goods, you know, would end up being. On the international side, we almost always, and I actually should say always, look at a cap, and it's typically based on volume. From a moving perspective, we recommend moving away from weight and looking at volume. How much space do these household goods take up? And typically clients would authorize an air shipment as well as a surface shipment, and define the container size in advance, which is something that we can visualize with the customer, with the transferee, because we can give them the dimensions, and it gives them an idea of how much space do they have to work with.
Right. Well, on the subject of international moves, what's the typical best practice that you see for cross-border moves? In other words, companies moving people from either the U.S. into Canada or from Canada into the U.S.?
Typically, we look at cross-border shipments as really domestic shipments, domestic being within the U.S. or domestic within Canada. The transportation mode is the same. It's typically packed, loaded, and transported via truck, whereas international, anything traveling overseas, obviously, is containerized. Granted, we're dealing with two different countries, but from a transportation standpoint, it's basically a domestic move. And what we've seen is Canadians aren't only good at hockey, they're also very good at cross-border shipments. And I think a lot of reasons come into play for that reason. One is the recent changes in regulations as it relates to U.S. employees getting across the border. Drivers are having a hard time, or a harder time these days, get crossing the border. They're no longer allowed to bring their helpers, their labor with them, and then are relying on agents once they get into Canada. Whereas if you look at many of the Canadian agents, they have dedicated fleets that all they do is cross-border shipments. So these drivers are experienced with the process, they're experienced with the customs agents that they're dealing with, and almost exclusively dealing with cross-border shipments.
Now, there may be a tendency for companies to when they approach their household goods move, to think, oh, every van line does the same thing, and maybe select perhaps the cheapest or the one with the brand name that they recognize. What do you typically recommend that companies look for in a prospective household goods provider, you know, considering how critical this process is to employee satisfaction and productivity? I'm guessing that in most cases cheaper isn't always better.
I absolutely agree with you, and I take it a step further. With household goods, you almost always get what you pay for. Ultimately, it is a service where a moving company may come in and tell you they're going to pack, load, and transport something the same way that that their competitor will. It comes down to the actual folks that are going to be in the home packing, loading, and the driver that's going to be transporting that shipment. So I think it's very important to take the time, do the research, make sure you understand a little bit about the company that you're potentially working with. Ask the right questions. Ask them about their claims. You may want to take a look at their claims as it relates to their competition, specifically with household goods insurance companies, which can provide you with additional data. You want to look at the fleet size. How many trucks do they have in the fleet? How many drivers do they have in their fleet? Years in the business, years with the agency. How many of their own shipments do they actually haul, which, as the industry knows it, as self-haul capabilities. Ask the right questions up front. And most importantly, I think, in the household goods industry is once you start working with a particular company and there is a service issue, because unfortunately there are service issues that come up in transportation, they're unavoidable, how quickly do they respond? Is your transferee left trying to resolve the issue, or is your moving company stepping in and doing the right thing and getting things rectified immediately?
Well, excellent. With some excellent insight there and excellent advice. We'll stay in touch for other interesting developments in the household goods world. Kiriakou, once again, thank you very much for your time. And for those of you listening, thank you very much.